Ich bin Christina Sternbauer, ehemalige Ärztin, die den weißen Kittel an den Nagel gehängt hat, um sich ein Multimillionen-Coaching-Business aufzubauen. Es ist noch nicht allzu lange her, da stand ich, so wie du vielleicht jetzt, vor vielen Fragen. Allen voran, wie fange ich überhaupt an mit dieser Kundengewinnung? Und wie mache ich denn dann weiter? Was sind die nächsten Schritte? Und wie mache ich das Ganze richtig groß? Ich hatte weder das Marketing-Know-how noch ein riesiges Budget. Aber ich hatte den unbändigen Wunsch im Herzen, Menschen als Coach zu einem besseren Leben zu verhelfen. Ein paar Jahre später und einiges an Erfahrung reicher, führe ich heute ein Unternehmen, das Coaches, Trainern und Beratern ihr volles Potenzial aufzeigt. Das Leben verändert und bereichert und das mir und meiner Familie und den Familien meiner Kunden ein Leben in Freiheit und Wohlstand ermöglicht, von dem ich früher nicht einmal zu träumen gewagt hätte. Ich habe den Geld und Glück Podcast gestartet, um dir zu zeigen, dass mein Weg und der meiner über 6000 erfolgreichen Kundinnen auch für dich möglich ist. Und wenn du gleich richtig wachsen willst, dann findest du den Buchungslink zu deiner kostenfreien Potenzialanalyse für dich und dein Business in den Shownotes. Da kannst du dir gleich einen Termin sichern und mit meinem Team ganz persönlich sprechen. Wenn du dir also dein Traumleben erschaffen möchtest und gleichzeitig mit deiner wertvollen Arbeit einen Impact in dieser Welt machen willst, dann bist du genau am richtigen Ort. Es ist kein Zufall, dass du heute hier bist. Und damit du gleich einen Schritt weiter bist auf deiner Businessreise, lass uns gleich loslegen mit dieser Podcast-Folge. Ihr Lieben, ich habe heute einen Gast, einen ganz, ganz besonderen Gast. Das Interview wird auch gleich auf Englisch stattfinden. Ich bin so happy, dass ihr alle da seid. Bei mir ist heute Melanie N. Leyer, eine meiner Mentorin. Seit fast 2 Jahren bin ich jetzt mit ihr unterwegs und sie hat sich bereit erklärt, mit mir in diesem Podcast zu sein. Und ich freue mich unfassbar, mit ihr über das großartige Thema zu reden. Wie hat sie ihre Brand groß gemacht? Eine Brand, die seit 2017 besteht, Alpha Farm. Vielleicht hast du auch schon mal was von ihr gehört. Sie begeistert Frauen rund um den Globus, ist eine fantastische Mentorin zum Thema Leadership, zum Thema Women Empowerment, zum Thema Manifestieren. Und wir werden heute über viele Dinge sprechen auf Englisch. Und ja, ich bin ein bisschen nervös, weil ich es das erste Mal auf Englisch mache, aber ich freue mich jetzt richtig, mit dir loszulegen. Herzlich willkommen, liebe Melanie. A warm welcome to you, Melanie and Leia. And I'm so happy that you are here.
Oh my gosh, you are so awesome. The way you just flipped languages like that, that was extraordinary. Thank you for having me.
So where are you right now? You're in Canada, is it right?
Right now I'm in Canada. I'm in my house. It's a rainy day. And so just everything looks gray. The sky, the pool, the lake, everything is just 50 shades of gray. And it's beautiful.
I so love the fact that we, like, I'm in Switzerland, you are in Canada, we are women who have kind of the same purpose, to empower other women to live their best life, to go for their own purpose, to have, like you always say, I love to empower women to have big money in their hands and to change the world. And this is what we are going to talk about. And I so love the fact when I talk to you, knowing that around the world, so there are so many women who want the same or similar things for themselves, for the world. And this is what I so love. And yeah, it's so great. So Melanie, your brand Alpha Farm, tell us about it. It's one of the hugest brands in the coaching industry, founded in 2017. You grew everything organically, which I'm going to talk about because I'm very much in ads. What is your brand about? How did you find the name Alpha Farm? And I know you told once in a life that you were so surprised that no one had taken this name. Like, tell us about this moment. How did life lead you to this moment where you founded your brand?
So it's so interesting because I did not have a brand for the longest time. I first started my career. I called myself the Invisible Coach for years. And then I just had Melanie Leyer Inc. And then eventually I had a company. I tried the Boss Vibe, but none of them felt like it. They felt like temporary things. And my partner, Kevin, this was a very special night. I'll never forget it. But he drove to California one night. My granddad passed away. And he was in Montana. He drove to California to come so I wouldn't be alone. And that night, I hadn't seen him for a couple of weeks. We were doing long distance at that point. He was just, I can't explain to you how he was. Just his energy was so masculine and powerful and beautiful. And everywhere we went, people just looked up to him and asked him questions. He would open the door for strangers. He would talk to people so effortlessly. And I said to him, you know, if you were to ever be a mentor for men, I imagine your brand should be the effortless alpha. Like, you lead with such an effortless way. And so we talked about that. And he started having a men's group, not as a coach, but as a men's group to empower men, to create a beautiful brotherhood, really helping men step up and be leaders. And so he was the effortless alpha for like 2015, 2016. And it never really triggered anything in me. But one night I was at a retreat that I was helping a client co-facilitate. And one of the clients that was there asked me, what is the woman's version of effortless alpha? And I just said it, alpha femme. Mm. And the minute it came out of my mouth, I had chills everywhere. I wanted to cry.
I have him right now. Yeah.
It was like I had tried so many things. I had written down things. I had tried things. None of it was really it. And then all of a sudden, it was that. It was it. And I just remember feeling like I can't. For sure, it exists, first of all. And then when it didn't, I was like, I'm going to have to step up my game even more if I'm going to lead a company called Alpha Femme. Like, I've got even more leadership to bring to the table. I've got even more power in me, because if I'm going to lead this brand, I need to be this brand. And so I would really say the beginning of my leadership with the power that it is now started with Alpha Femme.
Oh, it's such a great story. And like when people see you right now and see your Instagram and see your beautiful face and all your identity and the brand, like, you could say, oh, she is just lucky and she just got so lucky to find this name and to build this brand. But it was not always like this. I know your story. Do you want to share it with us in the German market? Like, what was it about? You had times where you were not successful, and how did it come to your huge success?
So I come from a French-Canadian town in Quebec, where it's just not really the thing to be successful. It's tiny little towns with family, and you do your best to get by. And if you have a sad story, you have more friends, because nobody really likes you when you're showing off, and nobody really likes you when you're successful. And rich people, you know, they're this and they're that. And maybe their stuff gets stolen and they deserve it. And like, those are kind of the conversations I grew up hearing about rich people, which was not really, or, you know, like, oh yeah, they're rich, but the dad's never there. They're rich, but the dad's cheating on the mom. They're rich, but that was always it. It was not, you could never just be, oh my gosh, those people made it. Like, that didn't exist. And so I was never actually drawn to being a rich person, but I was drawn to travel or to experiencing life in a different way. Like, I remember having dreams of being free and traveling and things like that, but it was never about like the cars or the fashion. I never really got the designer thing. It wasn't like the typical driven by the desire for wealth. Like, I didn't really have that, but my life was just a little bit of a mess. And I kept, you know, choosing the wrong partners and getting into really complicated relationships where I was holding the fort and getting jobs that required so much work that I could never really get ahead. And it was impossible to get the paychecks to work. So I remember one time I was working at Sears in the cosmetic counters. And there used to be a travel counter where you could get, you know, what are they called? Like, pamphlets to see different travel destinations. And I picked one up for Jamaica. I'd done the math. If I wanted to go to Jamaica and pay for my partner, because even then I was not thinking that we'd ever do 50-50 or that he could take me, I was doing the math. If we went to Jamaica and I paid for both of us, it would have taken me something like 10 years to pay off our plane tickets.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so I'm never going to travel. And so I went from that to things just getting really bad. The relationship kept getting worse. No real passion or purpose in my life. And then I got into a commission-only sales job with absolutely no salary, commission-only. And I did well while my life was good, but I broke up with the guy after I'd been with him for like 7 years. I just hit my limit, and he'd become the manager. So he fired me from my job. And I ended up sleeping in the front seat of my car. My whole life fell apart. I went bankrupt. Like, I lost everything. Like I was just a mess and I was so mad and I blamed everybody because I just felt like I was such a nice person that if I were to fail so much, it couldn't be my fault. I had given so much to everybody. So clearly everybody was bad and they didn't care about me. And I was just a nice person and now I'm here. And so it's been such a journey from taking responsibility for my life and reclaiming that, like, I don't need to be nice. Why was I doing that? It wasn't correct. Like, I am a kind person. I don't need to act nice. I get to be kind and I get to be a freaking badass. I get to have boundaries. I did a lot of work with energetics, masculine, feminine energetics, emotional intelligence, spiritual and emotional strength to be able to get through really difficult things. And I found another version of me in there. Couple that with the identity of Alpha Femme, my life took off in ways that I can't even explain. And everything turned around. Like I have the greatest relationship with my friends, with my family, my fiance, my business. Like nothing has not been touched by this work.
Yeah, what is so great about this story is that like people sometimes they just see us on the peak of our success. But as you said, I just want to mention it again. You slept in a car in the front seat of your car. And I think it was in winter in Canada when you slept in the car. So it was cold and you were in a victim state. And total. So many people totally. And like the first identity shift was it to. What was the first identity shift from sleeping in the car, being like everybody else is did it wrong and it's not my fault and shame on the others, to become one of the most successful women in this industry? What was the first shift you took?
One of my first clear memories, because I kept journaling. I had this one journal that I basically filled from A to Z during that period of time where I was in my car. But I remember having this thought. Live your life the way you want to tell the story in hindsight. And I remember thinking to myself, imagine if one day I get out of this and I get a job and I do really well at this job. And for some reason, there's an award like Employee of the Month or something. And I get it. And I get to inspire people and tell them that like I lost everything, but I rebuilt myself. And that's what I was telling myself in my head. So not that I would ever build what I built now, that I might one day get a job again and be Employee of the Month. And like, how would I want to tell the story from bankrupt and sleeping in the front seat of my car to one day doing something that meant something, you know? And I think that was the most extraordinary thing for me, was starting to live my life the way I wanted to tell the story in hindsight. And that identity change thing, because it was like, I don't know who I'm going to become, but I've got to live my life as though I become something so big that my story matters.
So is it something that you could have ever imagined that you are like, it's today, it's the 24th of July of 2024. I don't know. Could you have ever imagined to be a woman who does, I don't know, your brand did over 70 millions or about 80 millions maybe in the last 7 years? And not only that you did this amount of money, you have a thriving life, you have a good relationship, you are lucky, you are happy. Could you have ever imagined this?
I don't even know how I could have imagined this, because it's too big for my brain to have imagined this. I never even knew people who made like six figures a year. Like I was not born in a circle of people who just made money. Like people just didn't make money. So it's not possible. And the other thing is, all the stories of successful relationships that I knew, people had met in their early 20s. All my uncles and aunts, everyone I ever knew who had a thriving relationship, they met when they were very young. And at this point, when my whole life fell apart, I was 25 years old. And it's so crazy because my birthday is on the 25th of November. And in Quebec, we celebrate a holiday called St. Catherine's Day on the 25th of November. And it's the day of women who are 25 and don't have kids and aren't married. They're called old girls. And I remember when I was a little kid, I have a very vivid memory. I'm with my grandma in her kitchen and we're making caramels for St. Catherine's Day. And she tells me, how interesting is it that your birthday is on St. Catherine's Day? Would be a shame if that ever happened to you. I was like seven.
Oh my God, yeah.
And so when I'm 25 and my entire self-fulfilling prophecy is to not be 25 and single, I'm now single, sleeping in the front seat of my car. My whole life is a disaster. I'm 25 years old. And so for me, I even feel like I'm too old to be in love. Everybody that's got a strong relationship fell in love in their early 20s. My brother and my sister are already in committed relationships. They've already met their person. You know, like I've passed it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even have a high school diploma. Like I really just, I've messed up my life. I'm 25. I have messed up my life. And so to imagine that I could get here would have been absolutely impossible. But I think what led me here was not ever banking on getting here. And I know this is strange because a lot of people talk about manifestation being like, you've got to envision exactly what you want. That was not my experience.
This is what I wanted to ask, because so many people, sorry for interrupting you, is so many people say, yeah, but I cannot even imagine to have like $15,000 or euro per month. When I started my journey, I was like, 10,000 euros. This is so much money. How the life would I like? I would be happy for the rest of my life. Everything would be great. I would never fight again with my partner, and I would love my children, and I'm the great, most grateful person on earth. But I could also not imagine to have more. And when I talk to people, and also in the manifestation scene, like people say, you have to imagine what you want. But it's so hard. So what is your experiment? I'm so interested in how did it happen to you if you could not have imagined where you are now?
The thing is, anytime anybody ever told me to do that, to imagine exactly what I wanted, my brain immediately told me that was not possible for me. And so I thought to myself, this can't be what people mean when they're talking about visualizing. It can't be what people mean, because I had also started learning about gratitude at this point. And it was like, if my feeling of thinking of what I have feels stronger and better in my body than imagining what I'm going to have one day, how can that be the key to me having everything I've always wanted? To imagine something that when I think about it, I feel bad. I feel it's impossible. I feel not good enough. But when I think about what I have now, even though I have almost nothing, I feel grateful. I feel connected to something. I feel alive. Like, how is this less good than that? It's impossible. I'm not going to listen. And I've often said on my journey here, I've broken every rule, because I said to myself, what if instead of imagining what I could be, I just feel blown away by how good things have gotten in comparison to how bad they were? And so I started really looking at my life like, wow, just a few days ago, I felt this way. And now I feel this way. Imagine what could happen if I continue to progress. Oh my gosh, I've learned so much this month. Last month, I didn't even know these things. Imagine what I'll know next month if I'm able to get this. I left the what if fields open in my world. Like, what if? But in order to access what if and to not feel like, don't get ahead of yourself, it's impossible, this is the best it could be, it had to come from a genuine feeling of wow for now. Like, oh my gosh, this is such an incredible thing that I just learned. And if I could learn that in 2 weeks, imagine what else I might learn. Like, that was the energy of growth. And so what I realized is, for me, progress is more important than anything else. And I've kept those beliefs very far into my journey, because even now, with my goals on the planet, is just, it's not to hit a certain milestone. The milestones are just going to happen on the way there. What I want to see is massive progress for women. And not just progress like we make more money. Like, we are badasses. We're able to manage ourselves so much greater. It's no longer an acceptable paradigm that women aren't friends and that women are not good to each other. That doesn't exist anymore. Like, I want progress, the most extraordinary progress. But for that, I can't get stopped by any failure. It's got to be like, even the failures show me where the shortcomings are so we can create more progress. And I feel like that's how I lived my life, how I built this business, and how I'm building my legacy. I see everything as progress or potential progress. It's not about perfection. It's not about me being able to just manifest this perfect dream. It's about me becoming the person it takes for me to have progress. And it's like every step of the way, the greater I become, the more tools I have for the next step. Then I do the next step. And in that next step, I become greater. And that develops the tools for the next step. I know for sure, if I would have tried to manifest what I've done, like over $80 million in the last few years, if I would have tried to manifest that, my brain would have just told me it's impossible. I would have been like, how? How do I do it? I would have been trying to make money. The reason I made this money is because I was trying to make progress for the world. I got paid a big paycheck because God signs the checks for people with big missions. If I were trying to make $80 million, I would have had to find clients that were willing to pay me that much. But when my mission works with God, Mother Nature, the universe, when I'm doing mission work, it's so big. If I focus on the mission, the money comes. Money's a byproduct. Because the other awful thing that I realized, and I think this is the case for a lot of people, is I could have aimed for so much less. If you would have told me that many years ago that I could make $10 million, I wouldn't have believed you. $5 million, I wouldn't have believed you. $2 million, I wouldn't have believed you. So imagine if I would have had a goal of $10 million and then I would have hit it. That would have been worse. Because then I would have hit the goal and been like, look, I did it. I'd rather stay hungry and not have any idea what the heck it is that I'm doing. That's brought me further.
It's so great because, like, you built this brand and this huge success by totally balancing masculine and feminine power. Because, like, when I found myself aiming for goals, I always get in a very hard energy, a very masculine energy. I'm hustling. I'm like, I have to do this. And I lose my flowing and my femininity. And like you said, when you do it for the mission, for the purpose, like you are supported by the universe. Is this what you learn people, what you teach people? What is what you teach women all around over the world to like you? I know that for you, it's important that people get their goals and that you also love money. So money is kind of like we're talking business, but how would you like tell someone just go for your mission? And some people also don't know their mission. So how can they start when they say, okay, I don't believe that I can make millions, but I believe I can have a great life. What would you advise to them?
Well, I think a lot of us, and this is why my purpose is so big, is there's been so many surveys that show that girls, by the time they're 8 years old, stop believing they can do huge things. Like, what did you believe when you were little about what you could be? It was limitless. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I want to be a nurse, or I want to be a teacher, or I want to be, you know, there's a regular pattern for girls and what we're going to end up being when we grow up. And none of them are bad professions. It's just there comes a moment where it's like, that's probably what I'm going to be when I grow up. And so I feel like we're lacking the visionary conversation with women, with young girls, to even keep it in our awareness and in our mind that we could be absolutely extraordinary. Like, for most of the women that I've worked with, especially those who've really skyrocketed since I started working with them, like, I've got clients who started with no business, making $14 an hour, made $25 million in the last 5 years, you know, $10 million, $35 million. Like, the amounts of money are insane, but the work we did was visionary work. When you just want to make money, there's going to be a limit to how much money you can make, because you're going to figure out, what do I need to do for people to pay me money? And that is one level of question. But there's another level of question out there. And that is, what's the mission that I'm willing to stand for in this lifetime? And what's the impact that that mission would have on the planet? And if I'm really dedicated to this and I really go for it, the amount of people I help, the progress I'll make forward on the planet, do I trust that whoever's in charge of the money in the universe is going to make sure that I never run out? And so vision work and mission work is more about, like, what's the part of your story that is meant to be bigger than this? Like, this is phase one of your life. And now there's got to be a plot twist. There's got to be this moment that you don't expect that's about to happen that makes you realize that your life was more important than just paying your bills and having enough to travel. Like, that's not your goal. That's what's supposed to happen on the way to you doing something that leaves a footprint on earth. And so I want to wake women up. It's like, we actually are born for this, and we've been put on the planet in a time where we can actually do it. We can learn from each other. We have access to education at the click of a fingers. You can You can do your job, your work, you can be a mom, you can do everything, you put your kids to bed, and you'll still have the time if you choose not to do Netflix to plug into something and to educate yourself. This has never been possible. 50 years ago, this month was the first time a woman could get a credit card without her husband's approval. 1988 was when a woman could get a business loan without a husband co-signing or a man co-signing on it. We're just breaking out into women having rights to have money. And it's like, if we just be grateful for what we have and don't push any further, it's going to be very easy to just get comfortable here. But if we see, like, look how much progress was made before us, what's the progress we're going to bring forward? This means women-owned businesses. This means money in the hands of women. This means mission work, visionary work, people getting better through the businesses that women are putting together, and a network of people who value that and who support women-owned businesses and who actually help the world thrive this way. Like, that's when you start entering. Money is just a byproduct of the person you become. There's no limit to the money that's available to people who have a vision like that. But if you just want to get paid, there's a limit. If you want to create, the sky isn't even the limit.
So why do you think women still believe they cannot do it? Is it only the old beliefs like you had in your small town in Quebec? And how? Because I experience this in my work that still women come into my rooms, into my courses, and have so much self-doubt and so many beliefs of I'm not good enough. And I know you are doing the work for changing these paradigms, but why? Or is it even a question, why are we having it? So how can we change this in a global manner? Because I see the potential as you see it, because we did the work and we see the potential in the women, but they sometimes don't see it themselves. And this is like, it makes me sad sometimes.
Well, I think there's two big things. The first one is there really isn't a lot of examples. Most women don't know another woman that's doing this. They may have heard of one, but they don't know one. And so I want to have so many people, so many women be successful beyond measure that it's impossible for a woman to not have at least one example of someone they know could really talk to for realsies.
I just have to because I was talking to a friend of mine here in the German market. She's doing like our market is smaller than the English market, and she's doing 4 million, I'm doing 6 million per year. And she was like also talking to me like, who is our model right now? How many women? And the coaching industry is even a very young industry. So there is not even a model of like 8-figure businesses in this industry. Women with kids, very rare, who doing millions per year. So who, like we were talking to in the morning per WhatsApp about this, like, because sometimes it's very hard to go this way because we are first movers. There's no model. We have to find out how it's working on ourselves, which for myself, it makes me proud. But sometimes I would wish that someone would be there to tell me this is the way. So this is how you do it. And like I'm not missing the women who are doing this, because I know you. This is why it's so important to be in containers like mine or yours, where we can support the women. But how do you see the future of us? How do you find, like, yeah.
So the first thing I see is that there aren't enough people, and that's our job, because it means the only way we're going to make more people is we've got to become them. Mm. And it is, there's something else. And that is the fact that women do not like, same as men, nobody likes this, but we don't like failure. But we've never been taught that failure is a part of winning. Boys learn that in sports. They learn that in competition. They learn that. But girls are always taught to play nice and be fair and be nice and be... We're not really taught you give it everything you've got and it's okay if you fail and you know, you train harder. We're not really taught that. So we only know how to look at it from the outside and kind of hustle in masculine energy, but we don't have a model in feminine energy of what it looks like to fail. And why I think women really have the power to do extraordinary things is that we, a lot of times, will avoid pain. We'll do crazy things. You'll stay too long in the wrong relationship. You'll stay too long with the wrong company. You'll give up on a dream you're excellent at just because you're too afraid of failing. You'll not tell the truth to a friend and have a lesser relationship because you're afraid of it not working out. You're afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid. And so we live these like mediocre lives in comparison to what we could have to avoid our feelings. But if women were able to work with their emotions, to deal with fear, to deal with disappointment, to deal with sadness, but also to understand how to hold in their body celebration and gratitude to the maximum, to feel like they are living and alive and in love with their lives. If we could utilize the emotional, magical thing that is to be a woman, like we have so much emotional power. If we can harness that and cultivate that, there's nothing we can't do. Like I've got other businesses now and I own businesses and properties. And when I'm sitting in a board meeting with other men, I feel so solid in my feelings, but I've thought about this so often. Before this work, had I been put in this room, I'd be afraid to look silly. Mm-hmm. I'd have been afraid to say the wrong thing and I wouldn't have said anything. But now I'm confident that I'm going to say the right thing. I'm not afraid. And if I did make a mistake, I would not be so full of ego that I can't just go, oh, okay, I learned from that and I move forward. So I feel like I'm learning at warp speed because I'm really working on the emotions. That's what women need. We do the craziest thing to avoid our feelings. We're not good with commitments. Women are not good with their word. They manipulate. They use this victim part of them as a weapon where they could power through. But if they say something really sad and dramatic, they could maybe get out of the bad situation. They still use that. They say they want power, but they use their weakness as a weapon. We'd have to put those weapons down. We'd have to put the weakness weapon down and choose strength. That's a scary thing for women to do, especially if you're afraid of your own fear. So there's a lot of like warrior energy that needs to come out.
Yeah.
So that we're able to hold those feelings. So we're not hustling to try to avoid failure. We're actually making the correct moves and able to handle our failure both at the same time. That's required.
It's so great that you're telling this, because I've tomorrow a call where I work with downloaded codes, and this, like, I just channel them, and they tomorrow the code which is coming was about like fighting for your purpose, fighting you for your life, fighting for yourself. And I gave it to the women and they were like, oh no, I'm so done fighting, and I get everything with ease and love and heart. And I was like, yeah, we can do this, but we need to step up and to find the, like you said, the strength of warriors in us and to fight for a good cause. It's I did not mean, or the code did not mean, which I channeled, to fight in a bad manner like men do. It's the queen's fight. You fight for your life, for your purpose, for the strong women, and you put down to always be nice and to always be in the comfort zone of lovely feelings and happy feelings, because this is not what makes us successful, I believe.
And the thing is, being powerful brings a lot of positive feelings, but it's not like, la, 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 everything's okay. Good. It's like, we've got this. It's going to be okay. Even worst case scenario, if this happens, I'll be able to do this. It's solid good. It's confident good. It's capable good. And so the fight isn't a fight against, it's actually a fight against the inside of us. We're not fighting against people on the outside. The biggest blocks for women rising are other women. Either what they're actually going to do or what we think they're going to do, either what they actually say or what we think they were going to say, because somewhere at some point women were taught to fight each other. And I think no one's had to worry about us for a very long time because we're so busy fighting each other that if we actually realize that we have a common goal, we could go further. But I think the other thing with this is men have been really great at being loyal to a leader, in the sense where they'll find a person that they really respect and they will honor that leader, not from a place of authority necessarily, from a place of honoring. Whereas with women, if there's ever going to be a leader, a lot of the times, if she's going to make it through, it's because she's going to go for authority and hierarchy. And so it's going to be weaker women looking for a mother figure instead of powerful women who say, We want a leader. We choose you. We honor you. We'll protect you. We care about you. We know this is a huge responsibility, but we're all walking towards the same mission like a queen bee. It's such a different energy. It's not because one's the dictator and the one that says you have to do this or else you're fired. It's more so we're stronger together. We need a person with a mission. Like, who am I choosing as my leader? Not because I'm weak, but because there's someone there leading the mission. And I think that we don't have that yet because women tend to break the leader down. And so yeah, no so, one like, wants to be it. They're like,
men were always used, when you look about history, they were always used to speak their vows to their leader, to their clan chiefs, to their kings. And women never did this because we were excluded. We were to sit in our nice living room and making like handicraft stuff and knitting and so such things. And so the warrior energy, the women warrior energy, I think it's something we can really cultivate in a good way, in a good manner. So Melanie, one sentence I really love you always say is leaders are bridges and bridges are tested. What do you mean about this? Can you tell people who are listening what you mean about this? Because in this journey you are going and I'm going and all, maybe you are going when you're listening, we are getting to be tested. So what's about the leaders are bridges and bridges are tested?
So the way I love to see leadership is that we basically create a bridge for people that are coming next to walk across treacherous waters. It's like we're the bridge over troubled water. So if the water is tumultuous and I build a bridge, all the people that come after me wanting to cross that cross easier because I built that bridge. That's what leaders are. So you've got to be willing to put yourself out there and build a bridge. But beyond that, if anyone is going to successfully walk across that bridge, you've got to be solid in your leadership. A lot of people want to just say they're a leader because they did something one time. Sometimes that is a miracle. Sometimes that is alignment. Everything aligned. It doesn't necessarily mean you know what you're doing. If I managed to make a bridge across the river and I made it to the other side, that doesn't necessarily mean that this bridge is strong enough for everyone to walk over. And so there's a difference between you made it in your life and you took it on as a mission to be a leader. When you decide, I am taking it on as a mission to be a leader, it means that this bridge you built, although it's great, isn't worth much unless people can walk on it. When's the best time to test a bridge? While people are on it? No, before. No. So you build the bridge and then you pressure test it. Can it hold a person? Can it hold two people? Can it hold three people? It's the same thing for a leader. You have a big purpose in your life. You want to do something great. You want these clients to come into your world and you want 100 clients tomorrow, but you've never tested your leadership bridge. You don't know if you can handle the pressure. You don't know if you can handle the expectations. You don't know if you can handle difficult discussions. You don't know if you can handle the chaos. You don't know if you can handle women when they're up against any kind of what they perceive as authority or rules or money or pressure or fear or failure and how they behave. I've seen women behave in ways that I'm like, don't forget your mission. Don't forget your mission. Don't forget your mission. Like women who single-handedly could bring progress back just because of who they are. It is so difficult sometimes to be so sure of a mission and have someone come in and be like, I'm your test. I have the power to destroy this bridge and to not just be like, you know what? Never mind. But what's the point of you becoming everything you wanted to be? And then the first time somebody comes in and is too strong for the bridge, your bridge breaks. So I see it like so often in my career, women ask me, do you think at what point is it that we're not supposed to go for our dreams? At what point is it that it's a sign? Like if it hasn't worked by now, I probably shouldn't do it. Like it's a sign. When is it a sign? When is it not a sign? And I'm like, it's never a sign. It's just a test. Then you decide because we have free will. You know, you're not just going to become a leader because you just have to. It's going to be a choice every step of the way. And so the bridge will be tested. You will get the worst kind of interactions with people that make you question everything. Is it worth it? But then if it's a real mission, it's worth it.
It's worth. And you say yes. It's worth.
And you say yes. But you can't, it's so easy to say yes before you're tested. Yes. Well, let's test it. Leaders are bridges and bridges are tested. Mm. That's what that means.
I love this so much. And one last question, because it's, yeah, I just wanted to mention it out. Like, I've worked with you for about almost 2 years right now, and I'm in your mastermind, and there were people from all around the world. And I just want to tell people here in Europe that we all have the same issues, which I find really, really exciting, because I know one call. I remember one call when I said, yeah, the Germans don't buy so easily. And you just said, yeah, the French tell me this, the Canadian tell me this, the English tell me this. So it's just our beliefs. And one thing we also all of us have is the people who hate, like the haters and the destroyers, and people who just want to break us down to not fulfill our missions. Can you talk about this a little bit? How do you handle this? Because I know you went through a huge process. Me too, last year. It was kind of like many of us had the same things, and we talk about this very often in your mastermind. Maybe you want to share your thoughts about other women or other people who want to destroy our missions. How do you handle this?
So this is the difficult thing, is that everyone has their own experience of the world. And for us to become where we are right now, there's a lot of difficult things that had to happen in our lives before we decided to take on a mission this big. For me and for most of the clients that I work with, they went through some really difficult things or really intense training to become another profession, just to realize, gosh, if I'm going to do that, I might as well do something that can really do something. Like, there's been a breakthrough moment for every single one of the women that I work with that has missions of this size. But I don't know how well I would have done 20 years ago hearing women on the internet talking about having a huge vision and how integrity and honoring your word and stepping up, when I was still so self-righteous and just wanting to be nice, I don't know if I would have listened to me even back then. And so sometimes I think about what the people who are fighting us are actually fighting, and they're fighting the validation of their own life, of their own truth, where they're like, you know, no, I don't have a lot of money, but I'm a good person. You know, no, I don't get 100 likes on Instagram, but you know what? I actually live my life free from the internet, and I actually take the time to drink my coffee and watch the sunset, as though the people who have watched are on the internet don't do those things. Like, there's always this separation that's happening. I need to fight to show that my life is the right life. And the only way I can do that is by saying that this person's life is the wrong life. And there's the people who've tried this, and as soon as they got their first bridge, they wanted to quit, and they wanted to make it your problem or my problem. They sign a contract to learn how to do this, or like signing up for the business program. And within a couple of months, they're like, you know what? Never mind. And then they're mad at you for holding them accountable to something that they committed to. That's a whole other problem that we've got on the planet. People who want, they want to look brave, but they're only willing to make a big move if someone else is willing to pay for it if they mess up. What courage is, yeah, is you're willing to take the action, and you're willing to take responsibility for the success or the failure. That second part is hard for a lot of women. They want to take the move, and then they want someone else to be responsible if it doesn't work, like when they were little kids. And so I think that right now it's a fight of girls and women. It's a fight of actually wanting to do something that changes the world, not just for us, but for future generations, versus the women who just want their lives to be validated and want their financial situation to be better. The very personal, there's nothing wrong with this, but this is where the wars tend to break out amongst women, is when my mission and my life is all about me and how I feel, versus when your life is about, yes, how you feel, but bigger than that, what you are willing to live for and strive for and go for is a huge mission on the planet. And then maybe I feel like my mission isn't big enough, or I don't matter, or I feel like you're already big enough. Why don't you just give me what I want? Why can't you just give me what I want? Why won't you be nice to me? I'm nice to everybody. Why aren't you nice to me? Like, there's still a big gap. And I think that's where a lot of the conflict comes from, is that we're not on the same page. Some people are still trying to survive their life. Other people are already planning for the next generation to have it better than we did. We're on another playing field. I feel like if we could bridge those gaps, we'd all be able to see eye to eye in a much stronger way.
Mm. I love this. Melanie, do you have anything to share? We were talking about so many things, and we could talk about this for hours and hours and hours. And you do it in your community, I do it in mine. But do you want to share anything right now here for the people who are listening? Is there anything
Where they
left you
can find
wanna?
me?
Yeah, I would have asked you this, where you can be found.
I mean, right now, everything I've done, everything I've built has just been social media. That's where I go because every day something happens in my life and it's like, how do I want to describe this and how do I want to express this and how do I want to talk about this? So social media, I don't even have a website yet, which is wild because we've have an $80 million brand and I've done everything on social media with sales pages. But that's how you find me is on social media. I have a master class coming where I'll be talking about mission and millions and that kind of stuff even further as well. So keep your eye out on my social media for that. But I think the big thing that I believe in is even if you're listening to this podcast, there's something inside of you that wants something. There's something inside of you that wants something. And you may not have had the evidence. Like we were talking about with Dr. Christina before, like some people come from a country that it feels like no one else is doing it, or a segment of the country that feels no one else is doing it. And we're constantly measuring up against Hollywood, I think. You know, people talk about New York and the land of opportunity, and where we see movies that are recorded there, all about people who get celebrated for succeeding. And then there's the world we live in, which is most of the rural areas where that's just not the truth. And it's like, was I just born in the wrong place? Am I just in the wrong place? Will it never happen for me or the people around me? Because we're not from there. But I think the crazy thing is, I have clients from there, and their story is that the market's saturated and everybody that was already meant to win has won. So it doesn't matter where we are on the planet, we know our people, and that is enough to keep us scared and small. But you may not even be supposed to only help your people. What really changed my world is I'm French Canadian, but the impact of my work is actually bigger in the English market. I had to change my language. Like I went to school in French, my first language is French, and then I decided to go all about this in English. I changed my language and I built a multi-million dollar business, most of my clients being in Europe, in the United States, and Australia. And I have clients all over the world. I have clients that literally buy my programs and watch them with subtitles because they don't speak English. And so can you think of yourself as bigger than you are? No matter where your physical body is sitting in the world when you're listening to this, you can speak into a microphone and be everywhere in the world all at one time. We forget that. Doesn't matter how small your village is, you're connected to the world through social media. And so it's really empowering yourself to say, if I didn't have to worry about my village, my market, my limit, if I actually believed I have the power to speak and that the people that are meant for my voice hear it, would I be doing things differently right now?
Yeah, I love this so much. This is really one of the best thoughts is that when I was my first client, she was from 1,000 kilometers far from here, like at the other end of Germany. And I was like, oh my God, like it's so far. It's 1,000. Then I had one in Japan. And then I realized how big the world is, how much impact we can have. And since I work with you, it's like, oh, maybe the English market is coming also to my world. And I love to work together with like the people from Australia and stuff. And yeah, thank you very much for everything you said. I love this podcast and thank you for your time. And I wish you all the best. We see each other again in the in our Unity Mastermind. Thank you,
Thank
Melanie.
you. Thank you for having me.
Das war wieder eine Folge aus deinem Geld- und Glück-Podcast. Ich bedanke mich, dass du da warst. Ich bedanke mich für deine Zeit. Und hoffe, ich konnte dich inspirieren und ein Stück weit auf deinem Weg weiterbringen. Ich freue mich, wenn du die Folge teilst mit Menschen, von denen du denkst, sie sollten sie hören. Und ich freue mich natürlich auch über Rezensionen auf iTunes und Spotify, wenn es dir gefallen hat. Ich wünsche dir jetzt bis zum nächsten Mal ganz viel Glück und ganz viel Geld. Deine Christina.